you would speak clearly to us, and we would pray in expectation, Lord, that you are working and you are moving, God. And I pray as well that we would partner with you in the ways in which you're working in our lives. And Lord, I pray now that as we hear from your word and we hear about discipleship a little bit, we hear about the importance of youth ministry and children's ministry a little bit, God, that this would weigh heavy on our hearts and we would see the importance of these ministries. We would see the importance of our young people, God. We pray that all of us would leave here molded and changed by you in some way today. Blessed by you in some way today, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Go ahead and grab a seat, everybody. Yes. Transformers and nursery, you are dismissed. Have an excellent Sunday lesson. It's like half the sanctuary is gone. Awesome. All right. Today, Kevin and I had been discussing what we should preach about today, what I should preach about today, in his absence. And we had come up with the idea that maybe we should talk a little bit about youth ministry and children's ministry and the model in which we want to see these ministries take shape. How we want to see these ministries form and really just mold the young people coming in and participating in these ministries. And I think that was an excellent idea. It was Kevin's idea. I can't take full credit. But it was a great idea. We don't talk about this very often. And I think it's just great for even folks in here that don't have youth or children in one of these ministries just to hear about, hey, well, like, what's going on? What are we teaching young people? What is the methodology in which we do these ministries? And so that's the idea here today. That's the idea here today. And first off, I'll start by saying the youth ministry, which I try, so for those of you who don't know, I'm the associate pastor here. Let me start with that. And I look after the youth ministry. And I also partner with Tammy, who is running our Transformers ministry, so that we can have strong-willed, well-stabilized, and well-taught, well-fed from the scriptures young people, right? That's the idea. So about a year and a half ago, if I'm not mistaken, we went through a bit of a sermon series on discipleship, okay? And it was this 3D model of discipleship that we kind of called it. And after that, it was Kevin, myself, and there was one other person. Now, it was totally escaping me who preached that third message, so I'm sorry if you're in the room. But after we preached through that sermon series, I took a step back, and I looked at what we had preached and what we had talked through. So the three Ds that we had talked through were discovering, demonstrating, and duplicating Christ, okay? Those were the three Ds which we had worked through. And as I took a step back I was considering, you know, okay, how do I want to approach youth ministry? What is kind of my philosophy of ministry in a sense? This really lit up to me, right? And I thought, what a great way to approach ministry, right? And you can approach plenty of different kinds of ministry like this, but this is so important for our young people, the discovering, the demonstrating, and the duplicating of Christ, okay? So this is the model in which we're going to be talking about a bit today. So I'm just going to start to go through these three Ds, okay? And so some of you, maybe some of you remember a little bit about this, but I've kind of gone through and revamped a bunch of it. So even if you remember the sermon series, it's going to be very different still. Okay, the first D is discovering, okay? So when we say discovering Christ in youth, in children, I mean, for children, sometimes this is like really, you know, brand new stuff, right? Here we go. Like, this is the start of faith. And likewise, in youth, sometimes it can be the same. This is the start of faith. This is the foundation and the building blocks of what their faith is going to look like in the future. So, discovering a faith. You know, once the idea is once you discover the love of God, right? Once you discover the gospel message, what it means, once you discover Christ, once you discover his, you know, atonement on the cross for your sin, you begin to walk, as we called it, like David, okay? David's path to falling in love with God a little bit more, a little bit new every day, all right? That's the idea. That's the idea, okay? So David is a great model for some of these things here, these three D's that we're going to be talking about, all right? David found the love of God to be utterly irresistible, right? For those of us who've read through the Psalms in particular, I mean, when we speak of David often, this is kind of where we go. He wrote many of the Psalms, and he had a lot of profound things to say in them. These songs of worship, really, right? These songs of discovery, these songs of demonstration of God and who God is. Okay, so David found the love of God to be irresistible, demonstrating for us what it looks like to fall in love with God, to fall into a deeper relationship with God, to discover God more and more all the time, every day, right? And the longer that David got to know God, the more he found God to be a few things, okay? The first of which is the longer David got to know who God is and discover more about God, the more he found him to be utterly and absolutely and totally wonderful, okay? Psalm 63 says this, I have seen you in the sanctuary and beheld your glory, your power and your glory. Because your love is better than life, my lips will glorify you. I will praise you as long as I live. And in your name, I will lift up my hands. My soul will be satisfied as with the richest of foods. With singing lips, my mouth will praise you. On my bed, I remember you, thinking of you through the watches of the night. Because you are my help, I sing in the shadow of your wings. My soul clings to you. Your right hand upholds me. I mean, that is a discovering of this, of the wonders of God, right? I mean, it's beautiful, that scripture, the wonders of God in which David sees, right? It's like, wow, I can take protection in you. Wow, you watch over me in the night. You know, I remember you even in my dreams, in my bed, I remember you, right? In the sanctuary, I've seen you in the sanctuary and I behold your power. I mean, this is a discovering of who God is. And so in youth ministry, in children's ministry, we really strive for kids to recognize, for youth to recognize and discover the wonders of God. Okay? Not only that. David loved God because he appreciated how he rescued and provided for him, provided safety in times of trouble. Psalm 59 says, I will sing of your strength in the morning. I will sing of your love, for you are my fortress. For you are my fortress, my refuge in times of trouble. Right? The discovery that God is your fortress, that God is your refuge. Psalm 61, from the ends of the earth I call to you. I call as my heart grows faint. Lead me to the rock that is higher than I, for you have been my refuge, a strong tower against the foe. A strong tower against the foe. I long to dwell in your tent forever and take refuge in the shelter of your wings. Yeah. And also in Psalm 62, my soul finds rest in God alone. My salvation comes from him. He alone is my rock, my salvation. He is my fortress. I will never be shaken. I'll never be shaken. These are the kinds of things we want the youth to discover. It's like the wonders of God, the fortitude of God, right? The protection of God. These, you know, kids, these things are available to you, right? And it's wonderful to see when you teach them, when you give them areas which to explore these kinds of themes in their faith. It's amazing to see them grow. David found God also to be faithful and dependable. In Psalm 33, it says, "For the word of the Lord is right and true. He is faithful in all he does." Okay? Psalm 145 says, "Your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and your dominion endures through all generations. The Lord is faithful to all his promises and loving towards all he has made." These are the things that we want kids to walk into. These are the things that we want kids to discover, all right? These are the things that we want these kids to discover. You know, we believe, you could say spiritual truth that we as Christians believe is simply this, that God is revealed, right? That God is revealed. Now, does that take away from the mysteries of God? No, it doesn't. But we do know that there are ways in which God has revealed himself to us, right? A few ways. In theology, we kind of have some fancy terms, all right? First of which is called general revelation. And this means God reveals himself through things like nature, right? It's like you can take a walk through the forest. You can take a hike through the mountains. I mean, we were driving through, we went to Jasper yesterday, Erica and I, to go to Earl's and, you know, get that dynamite roll. But when we were driving out there, Erica just said to me, you know, it was just so peaceful. She just kind of looked over to me and said, "I just love this drive." It's like, yeah, this is a beautiful drive. And sometimes it's easy to miss that, right? But when she said that, immediately in my head I thought, yeah, this is a way in which God has made himself known, right? It is so beautiful to take a drive through the mountains. That's what we call general revelation. Now, there's another thing called special revelation, okay? Special revelation. This is God has revealed himself through Jesus Christ, his son, and through the scriptures, okay? So these are just a few ways which we can turn to learn more about God, right? And we have accounts of Jesus' life. We have scriptures that are amazing and deep and wonderful, and you get to dive in. And so God has made himself known. And so we seek to really guide youth and children into this process of, hey, God has revealed himself to you, and you get to dive in. And kind of what's wonderful about that, I think, is that's an ongoing learning process. That's an ongoing learning process. I mean, I'm talking about this in the context of children and youth and adolescents. But I know for a fact there's plenty of adults in here that need to hear that again, right? God has made himself known, and you get to dive right in. That's amazing. That's amazing. You know, Jeremiah chapter 29 says, verse 13 says, "And you will seek me, and you will find me, when you search for me with all of your heart. And I will be found by you, declares the Lord." Wow. Okay, so here's a promise, right? Here's a promise that we get to take and say, all right, so let's start searching, right? Let's start searching with our hearts. And so this is kind of where, as I've been saying, this is where we begin youth and children's ministry. It's like, okay, let's start searching. Kids, God has been revealed, and so let's help guide you into a process in which you get to experience him, right? Which you get to experience him. You know, and I think that when you discover these things, right, when you really dig in and this word discovery and you start to see this revelation, you get the discovery, you start to see more and more of God, you will be as David. You will be as David in like what I said earlier on, right? You will be as David. You will know the wonders of God. You will be as David. You will know that he has rescued you and provided for you. You will be as David. You will know that he is faithful and dependable, right? These are important facets of faith. These are important facets of faith. Now, let me stop there and change gears a little bit, okay? There's an important element that I think if we are to take youth ministry and children's ministry very seriously, we need to understand how does faith really develop, right? How does faith develop in children and in adolescents? Because as I've, you know, read about this a little bit and start to uncover some information about this, I've seen ways in which it's like, okay, right? Because, you know, neurologically, psychologically, biologically, we develop as humans just in certain ways. And so there are actually stages of faith in which people grow into and grow out of and move into and move out of as they age, right? This is just a part of us being human. And it's fascinating when you kind of start to uncover this stuff, because it makes your model, your methodology for ministry, your philosophy for ministry just that much more informed. And so these things can be very, very fascinating. Now, there is a fella who is no longer with us, but he used to be a professor. He was a professor of theology, and he was also a professor of human development at Emory University. He was also a pastor for a little while, but he was an academic, you could say, first and foremost. And he cared very deeply about this intersection between faith, right? Faith and theology and human development. It's like, where do they intersect, okay? And so in his research that he had done for many years at this university where he was, the director of the Center of Research and the director for the research of faith and morality and these types of things, he dedicated his life to this kind of conversation. And so when I was reading the findings of his research, you could say, it was very, very fascinating. So I want to share a little bit with you. Okay, so he came up with what we call six stages of faith. Okay, now I'm just going to talk to you about the first four because they're relevant to this conversation of youth and children and that development into, you know, adolescence and kind of moving forward into, the mid-20s and the adult life, you could say. So stage zero is this age 0 to 2 years old. And we call this, it's called the primal stage, right? Because it's kind of, you know, the cognitive ability, at least in an infant 0 to 2 years old, isn't really there in terms of, you know, critical thought and engagement and these types of things. So they learn, an infant will learn about its faith in a very different way in which an adolescent will. So this type of faith is really characterized by an early learning stage, right? So what some of the studies have come to find is that an infant who is brought up and nurtured in a warm, safe, and loving environment is more likely to experience faith in a positive light later on in life. They will cognitively think about their faith, right? They'll apprehend their faith in their minds and comprehend their faith in a more positive light. They'll be more trusting of God, for example. They'll be more trusting of people of faith. They'll be more trusting of, you know, authority figures and that type of sort. And likewise, infants 0 to 2 years old who experience, you know, neglect and abuse are significantly more likely as they develop through these stages of faith to have negative emotions when it comes to faith, right? And really have a distrust of God or the divine or, you know, whatever you want to call that. All right? So we kind of move out of that and we get to stage one, all right? Is this intuitive faith. And this would be like ages 3 to 7, okay? Ages 3 to 7. And this is characterized by the psyche's unprotected exposure to the unconscious and marked by a relative fluidity of thought patterns. And so religion or faith for kids of these, you know, this age 3 to 7 is characterized by images, by stories. You know, that's how they comprehend, right? They want you to give them a picture, right? So that mirrors what we do in Transformers ministry a lot, right? We oftentimes give stories, and nursery church, I know that Sheila, who is very involved in our nursery church, loves to give stories and sing songs and all of these kinds of things, because that's how kids of these age, 3 to 7, that's how they learn. That's how they comprehend their faith. And so that's an excellent model of doing nursery church. That's an excellent model of doing Transformers ministry, okay? Stage two is kind of where we start to get into more of the youth, adolescent type age. So stage two and stage three are kind of really my wheelhouse when I'm dealing with youth ministry. All right, and we call this the mythic literal faith in stage two. And stage two persons have a strong belief in justice. Okay, that's what really characterizes them, and that's very fascinating. It's because almost they're just starting to enter this world of conversation, right? They're starting to enter this world of what I call the transaction of ideas and ideals and ideologies and what is right and what is wrong, right? They start to develop, you could say, that black and white way of looking at the world. Okay, and so they view the universe or God, or, you know, this isn't just Christians, this is children of any age. They start to view their faith as almost always anthropomorphic. Okay, so what that means is they give human attributes and qualities to God. Okay, so we definitely do see this in youth ministry, right? When we engage in conversation with the youth, we ask them questions, We ask them questions, we prod, we want to hear what they're thinking, what they're praying about. Almost always, they will give a human attribute to God because at their neurological development, that stage that they're in, this is how they comprehend God. And so it's very important to understand these things when you're doing youth ministry. As, you know, for me, I would say more so as the pastor of the ministry, as the overseer of the ministry, it's very important to understand these things because you get to mold the methodology in which we do the ministry, right? And so understanding how these kids tick, I mean, that is so important. That is so important. Now, stage three is what we call the synthetic faith, okay? The synthetic faith. So this would be, you know, age 12 to age 19, 20 in there. So really that whole adolescent period. It is characterized by conformity. It is characterized by conformity. And we see this, you know, it's not hard to understand. We see this in things, you know, high school, for example, right? Whatever is the norm, you want to exist in that norm, right? And the same thing is true in ministry. Whatever is the norm to believe, to think, to act, to say, to do, what games to play, all of those things, this stage of faith is characterized by conforming to the norm. Now, is conforming to the norm always a good thing? No, absolutely not. And so understanding that this may be a strong, you know, you could say neurological characteristic of these kids, you get to then build off of that. It's like, okay, I understand now, due to just a little bit of research, that how these kids may tick a little bit more. I understand now why these youth may give certain answers to certain questions, why they consider God a certain way. And so the important thing now for the leaders of the ministry is to say, okay, we have this information, how do we build off of it, right? How do we build off of it? Because stage four is very interesting. It's very different than the first few stages. Stage four is this individual reflective faith. Individual reflective faith, okay? And it is a stage of what you could describe as angst and struggle. Now, sometimes that can be a positive thing because they're doing this series of investigation, you could say. It's this pushback. It's this, okay, I really want to make this faith my own, right? I really want to understand my faith. I really want to progress in my faith in a way in which I view as being important. And so this is a stage in which many, you know, 20-somethings and even all the way into, you know, your 40s sometimes, people can be in this stage where it's like, okay, I've got this faith. Maybe I don't fully understand it, but I'm going to make steps now to understand it, to comprehend it, to dive right in, okay? That's this stage. Now, The danger of this kind of openness, you could say, is if there isn't a good foundation built in those earlier stages, this can lead to the abandonment of one's faith. The abandonment of one's faith. So openness and questioning and investigation can be very positive if given a proper foundation. And so understanding that and then taking a step back and looking at the stages of faith in which these youth are in, you get to then build off of that and say, okay, I know that in a few years for some of these kids, some of the older kids, the 17, 18-year-olds in this youth ministry, they may enter this stage of faith in a few years. You know, when they go off to university or whatever, right? And they start to be exposed to new ideas and all the sort. So we want to build a good foundation, a foundation in which they get to have not a static faith, but a dynamic faith. And that's really the pinnacle, I think, of what I try to do with the youth ministry, okay? Is not let these kids have a static faith, but a dynamic faith. And that's why I wanted to lead with this discovering. Discovery, I think, is the beginnings of a dynamic faith, right? Discovery is the beginning of a dynamic faith because it keeps things fresh. It keeps things new. Nothing gets stale, right? It's like if you're just in your faith and you're not learning anything new and you're never inspired, like how quickly you just dry up, right? How quickly you just dry up. I know that's true for me. And so a big part of my faith has been that continually, let's dive in deeper. Let's dive in deeper. I want to learn something new because it keeps it fresh. Keeps it fresh. And so for these kids, I want them to experience that. I want them to be, as I said, like David, right? Like David. It's like experience new wonders of God. Come to the youth ministry. We'll help you, equip you to do that. Come experience the protection of God. We'll help you see that. Come experience, you know, the faithfulness of God. We'll help you understand that. That's the idea of the youth ministry, okay? So, you know, as I said, it's so important to be aware of these biological functions that you can't break out of. It's a part of you. It's what God has written into your system. It's important to understand these things, you know, happening within people as you're running ministries like Transformers, like youth. Because this information allows you to develop a strong system, which we can make sure that these kids are getting those three Ds, the duplication, the demonstration, and the, I said that wrong, the discovery, the demonstration, and the duplication of Christ. All right? Okay, now let's continue on. So we've talked a bit about discovery. Now let's talk about demonstration a little bit. So we have kids discovering more of God, right? Diving in deeper. Then we want them to, it's like, okay, you've discovered, you've learned something new, now let's demonstrate it, right? Let's make that a pattern in your life. So we're continually molding, we're continually bringing it from just up here or in their hearts out into their lives, right? That's part of the idea. And we know that when one enters into a faith relationship with Christ, they experience what we call regeneration. Regeneration. And we kind of see this in a picture from Ezekiel chapter 36, right? You know the Valley of Dry Bones? You've heard of this before, a bunch of people nodding, yeah. It's this picture that Ezekiel got, who was an Old Testament prophet, and he just saw this Valley of Dry Bones. And it was to say that Israel, the people at the time, they were dried up, as I said. Their faith had become stale in a way, right? They had nothing to them. They were just skeletons, right? And God's promise to Ezekiel was, I am going to give you a new flesh, in a sense, right? A new lifeblood. I'm going to make these dry bones become alive, okay? I'm literally going to pick you up off this desert floor and give you life into you. That's the idea here. So that's what we get when we see the Holy Spirit really entering into a person, right? It's this regeneration. I will give you a new heart, like God says, right? I will give you a new heart. And then, of course, the next fancy word, justification. Then you are justified. The Spirit of God enters you to make you new. And suddenly God doesn't just see you, but he sees the Spirit of Christ within you. Right? He sees the Spirit of Christ within you. And then lastly, we have this process that we call sanctification. And it's the idea that the Spirit, when the Spirit of God kind of enters you and fills you up and rejuvenates you and makes you alive again, then you begin this journey of becoming more and more like Jesus. And this is where that demonstration comes in, right? It's the Spirit of God making you more and more like Jesus. A great example of this is Ephesians chapter 2. Paul says this, as for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins. in which you used to live when you followed the ways of this world and the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. All of us also lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our flesh and following its desires and thoughts. Like the rest, we were by nature deserving of wrath. But because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in our transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved. Yeah. That's a great explanation of the Spirit of God entering in you, making you alive, and now you get to work and to discover and to demonstrate how the Spirit has worked in you. You get to demonstrate now how you are more like Jesus. And that's the idea, right? So it's like, hey, we lead you. You come to youth ministry. We help lead you into discovery. I would say that's been kind of the thesis of this year, right? We lead you into discovery. We lead you into discovery. You learn more. You are refreshed by the Spirit of God. And then the hope is that you take that home with you, right? It doesn't just stay here at the church. You take that home with you and you start to demonstrate that, these things that you've been learning, right? These things that you've been learning. We hope that's the same for the Transformers ministry as well, for our little ones, right? And so the idea is now that you've been made alive with Christ and you are continually discovering, you can now live a Spirit-empowered life, right? A Holy Spirit-empowered life. And so really, you know, two questions that we want to be asking our youth all the time and our children all the time is, I mean, are you in love with Jesus? And are you experiencing Jesus? And how can we, based on what we know, you know, from the science, from the biblical text, how can we guide you into a deeper form of discovery of Christ? And a demonstration of Christ, therefore. All right. And the last D is duplication. And this is now where, you know, this would be, you could say, my vision for the graduates of our ministry. Now, of course, we want all youth in our ministry to be, you know, sharing their faith with others, with, you know, not being afraid to be who they are, right? It's like, hey, I love Jesus, and the Spirit of God is in me, and I want to follow him, and that's okay. That's who I am, right? That's what we want, because that kind of attitude, I think, is contagious to others. But, you know, I would say as a vision, I see this duplication being graduates from our ministry, going out into their new context, right? They kind of graduate from our ministry, and a lot of them become, you know, adults right away. As I said, they move off to school, they get careers, and whatever it is, right? Sometimes they you know, they're leaving the nest for the first time, right? And they're out on their own. They're trying to figure out their life, and this is where we hope that the foundation that is built, the discovery and the demonstration, has now led into a duplication of their faith in the lives of others, in the people which, you know, they have a sphere of influence around. You know, and really I would say that this is birthed out of Matthew chapter 28, right? The Great Commission. You know, Jesus came and spoke to them saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you, and lo, I am always with you, even to the end of the age. Amen. It's like, yeah, that's the vision I have, right? Is these kids graduating from youth ministry, having been given this foundation, right? In light of what we know about them, in light of what we know about their development, right? In light of what we know about these spiritual truths, been given a solid foundation on Christ, and they go and they live out the Great Commission. I mean, that's my vision for this ministry. You know, Jesus says, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth, right? And this commission that follows, it's given in light of this authority. I mean, all authority has been given to Christ. All authority has been given to Christ. That's the foundation which we want to build these kids' lives up on. It's like now you get to go and share your faith. And it's amazing when we do see a great development in these kids, and they care about their faith, and they love their faith, and they want to engage with it, and they want to be critical with it, and they want to share it. And, you know, that is awesome. It makes me so happy to see that. You know, that's what makes it all worth it, really, right? That's what makes it worth it. You know, and he says, go, therefore, because Jesus has all authority, therefore go. That's what it's all about. It's his authority that sends us. It's his authority that guides us. It's his authority that empowers us, right? His work and message, you know, his work and message are not stopping for anyone, right? And so we want to, as I say, build up that foundation for these kids that they don't want to, you know, just do it on their own, but they want to rather partner with God in their context and say, hey, God, I want to see where you're working. I want to see where you're working. So it's important to, you know, understand these things, right? And I hope that me just sharing this methodology a little bit, I hope that it makes sense. And hey, if you have any questions about youth ministry, if you have any questions about Transformer ministry, I would love to talk to you about that. I would love to engage with you about it. If you want to get involved, I would love to talk with you about that too. I know for a fact that in Transformers ministry, they're always, always looking for people to help out. Always looking for people to help out. And if anything which I said, these three Ds, right, the discovery, demonstration, and duplication of faith, if that resonates with you and you feel a tug on your heart for youth, for children's, like, don't let that just sit and stir inside of you. Like, come and talk to someone. We would love to help you get involved. We would love to help you get involved. As I said, I know they need help in that ministry there. So that's my little plug. But, you know, I would just end with this. These kids are so important to me, and these kids are so important to our church. You know, one thing that we have to consider that is so, you could say, that should be a priority for our church is these kids, these young ones that are growing up right now and are going to be graduating this year in a few years or whatever and becoming adults, that is the future of our church, right? That is our future right there. And so we would be seriously amiss if we were not to pour into them everything that we have, right? Right? We would be seriously amiss not to give them the knowledge and the love and the gifts and the talents that we share here together in this church. We would be amiss. And that's an understatement, really, because these folks are going to grow up. These are the next elders. These are the next pastors. These are the next missionaries, right? These are the next youth leaders and children's leaders and ushers and worship leaders, right? These are the next ones. In fact, we have youth up here already doing worship. We see them in front of us, right? Working and speaking. We see the power of God, you know, enveloping them, empowering them for ministry, and it's great. It's excellent. And so we as a church need to be willing as a priority to come around these ministries and say, okay, how can I help? Right? How can I help? Because, you know, I know when I'm old and gray and I'm no longer preaching, I want solid preaching, right? When I'm old and gray, I want solid elders. Yeah, I see you waving at me. Right? You know, it's kind of funny, but really, we got to prioritize our young ones. We got to care for our young ones. They're so important to us. Okay? All right, let's pray. Well, Lord, we're thankful for both youth and children's ministry. And God, we pray that you would continue to provide for these ministries strong leaders and resources and that your spirit would just be so present in these ministries. You'd be working in these kids. You would be helping these kids grow. And God, we pray that these three Ds would seriously be the methodology in which we see ministry through. We want kids to discover. We want kids to demonstrate. And we certainly want kids to duplicate their faith in others. So, Lord, we pray for the Spirit of God to come down and be with us here today. Be with us here in conversation about these ministries and actions through these ministries, God, we pray. And Lord, I pray that as we do worship now and as we consider what we've heard, as we sing back to you, Lord, that it would be true in our hearts. And you would tug on us, you would pull on us, and you would speak to us, Lord. We're praying in expectation. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Would you stand for this last